and say, live in Las Vegas, could I come down?
So they called you. You didn't call them.
Grab something and run.
But they called you. You didn't call them. Because I didn't know. You didn't call them and said, I'd like to come in?
No.
No, they called you.
No,
okay.
No, they called me and said, we lost a speaker.
No problem.
The guy that they know, Michael Hesseman, was working with them.
And you came down and you spoke. And here, and I'm going to paraphrase the remarks that you made. Please clarify any mistakes on this. But the essence was that you wanted to get something off your chest.
No.
Okay, then it wasn't that. Then you simply said that I need to tell you, I want to tell you that an effort had been underway, primarily coming out of the National Institute of Discovery Sciences, out of NIDS, that you were directly involved in and or led or initiated, right, whatever, to try to get something going in Congress, right? And that discussions had been held, private discussions obviously, that might lead to a hearing or two. I don't know if it was secret hearing, maybe behind the scenes hearing, but something.
No, you've got apples and oranges. I did mention that last year here. That was not, I don't know if it was even underway, but I would not have mentioned it at that time.
Now, John, I got to
tell
you.
We were gearing.
I was there. I was there, and I remember it vividly. Evan took notes. This was approximately 3 years ago, and it was at Laughlin. Absolutely positive it happened, because I've actually thought about it extensively.
I thought we're talking about time longer.
But in any event, the point you were making is that this attempt was underway to, quote, engage Congress, all secret, and that it blew up. And the reason that it blew up was that Greer
absolutely
came forward with his efforts with the Disclosure Project to have the big press conference at the National Press Club,
right,
and just put it out there, and that it spooked the guys in Congress,
right,
who then said, we got to drop it. And you were pretty emotional about it. You're basically saying he just screwed the whole darn thing up.
Is that describing it? They did screw it up, yes.
Okay. Here's my problem. I was in Washington back in 1972. And this was the election of 72. And I remember it well. It was the election of second term run of Dick Nixon. And I remember how he made as a key aspect of his campaign, and this was a tough campaign. This was a tough time. But one of the things that Nixon made part of his campaign was his secret plan to end the war. I've got a secret plan to end the war, so reelect me. Well, it turns out that his secret plan was to stay in Vietnam until the Viet Cong invaded Saigon and then run for the helicopters. And that whole period leading up to that moment was a classic historical fiasco which had done enormous damage to America. I believe, now tell me if I'm wrong, but essentially what you were saying was the guys at NIDS had a secret plan to end the secrecy, and that the efforts by Greer to do things out in the open screwed up the secret plan. Isn't that it?
It was not NIDS. The individuals had come to us. We were working it. I wrote the charter. I wrote the background documents. Mm-hmm. I had asked the individual who came in initially, and I said, can you take a 20-point hit in the polls? And his answer was yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And it happened to be somebody who is in a district that's very heavy one way or another, and he had a substantial margin, and he could risk 20 points. This is not a voting issue. This is, again, we mentioned earlier, this is a strong,
sure,
negative issue. We bring up 28 while we're talking about it, though, because it hits your election.
Slide 28. See, he has his PowerPoint, but I have you. So it's an even fight. What's 28? Let me check 28 out here.
28 is the president, what I call the presidential paradox. That was one of two phenomenally close elections.
Well, why that slide's coming up? Is it up? Can't find it? His machine.
Is we've had two phenomenally close elections, and as you know, I put out an email before the last election that said, if this ARV is real, in other words, if we've done the re-engineered vehicle and all that, it will be announced before the election. Because I firmly believe that when you're competing for the office, it's the most powerful position in the world. They would sell their mother in order to win an election. And yet, this secret is so special that they won't use it. And you don't have to change. I mean, the example here that's on the slide, you see, these elections, both of them, that and the one with Greer and...
Right. But let's collaborate.
It would have been used to throw an election, and it would have been used in the last one if it were real. And you don't have to, I mean, we're not talking flipping 50% of the people.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if you just move 3, 4, 5%, it's going to be enough to throw it.
So wait a minute,
it would have been exposed.
Are you saying that, like, if one of the parties could slam the other party with the UFO issue?
It's called the October surprise.
They'd nail them cold.
This is a quintessential October surprise.
So in other words, the nature of this subject is so hot, so radioactive, that if you could slam the other party over that issue and win votes and win the election, they wouldn't hesitate to do it.
Remember, we scare people all the time.
Okay.
You don't change horses when you have a war on or things like that.
Well, then
so if we can scare people and say, oops, E.T. is out there, God, we got to do it. The people, but we're the ones who understand this.
Okay.
Would have been used.
I kind of agree with you on that. But that raises an interesting question I got to ask you. As I recall, the former chief of staff of Bill Clinton, former key advisor to Bill Clinton, in 2002, 2003, in the first term of the Republicans after beating the Democrats, came to the National Press Club, where we're going to be on Monday, and called for the release of all UFO documents to the American people because it was the right thing to do and it was the law. Now, wait, let me finish. And he did it again in 2003. Everyone knew he was a major player, of course, in the Democratic Party and close to the Clintons, and he established right around that time the left of center, Progressive Center for American Progress. And, of course, he went on to be the head of the transition team for the Obama administration. He's outed on the issue since 2002. He's all over YouTube and the Internet, and yet the Republican Party has never made any attempt whatsoever to use that against the Democrats, slam the Democrats, and use the UFO.
Podesta was a non-player.
How about Bill Richardson? He ran for president. He writes in the Roswell Dig Diaries, the Roswell explanation didn't hold up, and they never attacked him on that issue.
He got eliminated in the primaries. Podesta was not a key player. You did not hear him in any context in the preparation for the election.
Hillary Clinton is connected to the Rockefeller Initiative through documents we have in our hands and are posted. It's all over the net. There's a website called HillaryClinton.UFO. She was the number one contender. The Republicans never raised the UFO issue. In fact, everyone, I think... It's a non-issue.
It's not a voting issue.
But you just said earlier that if you could go after the other party,
now,
you'd do
Clinton
it.
If Hillary Clinton stood up and said, I'm running on the UFO ticket, or even that that's a piece of it, believe me, it would have been used. If Obama had said, I am running on the thing, I'm going to disclose this, it would have been used. And it would have been used very negatively.
I don't recall Obama.
It's not a voting issue.
I don't recall Obama saying, well, I'm running on the Reverend Wright platform here, and that's what it's all about. Reverend Wright just happened to say something, and they beat him over the head with it for about a month.
Huge difference.
Big difference,
because here is somebody who had supposedly direct influence on his upbringing and beliefs and all of that.
Beliefs? Strongly so negative. Beliefs are significant here.
Again, but this is for the voting public. Remember, one of my key points last year is the public is interested. You know, but public interest and what's voting issue, what's key, and the extent of interest is very, very different. It's a ho-hum issue
but
for
isn't
the
it,
voting public.
Wouldn't you agree that if, when, you know, you talk about an issue, let's talk about war. So if you have a war going on, obviously it's not unusual that the public have a pretty strong opinion about that. It's a voting issue, isn't it? So. I'm voting for so-and-so because I think the Iraq war was a good idea, or I'm voting for so-and-so because I think the Iraq war is a bad idea. So naturally, that's a voting issue. you know, to the extent that the UFO question is not a voting issue, I think is a result of the fact that the United States government has denied that there's any UFO ETs behind it for 60 years. And that's roughly the equivalent of the United States government saying, you know, there's no war in Iraq. What's your problem? I oppose the war in Iraq. The government says there's no war going on there. Yeah, but I know my neighbor's kid went over there. You got a photo of him over there? Well, it's a fake. There's no war. There's nothing going on in Iraq.
That's a good point.
Yeah.
That is actually a good point because I do still work with the military. And we hear constantly the United States is at war, particularly under the last minute.
Well, the war on terror, yeah.
That's BS. The United States is not at war. Some of us are here who grew up in World War II. At four
That's
or five
war.
Years old, I knew we were at war. 40% of the GDP was at war. The American Army is, or the American military is at war.
What do you need to do? Got to change battery? Oh, give him your flash drive. I arranged for your presentation to be trashed, John. I trashed your presentation, John, and I admit to it. I confess.
I did the same thing to Edgar this morning.
Yeah, you knocked him. You hit him. You ordered up a hypersonic laser diddly from space. Yeah, I understand.
But the point is, yes. you hear this rhetoric about the America is at war. The reality is the American military is at war, the intelligence community, small segments. If you have friends, children, loved ones, neighbors, they may be at war, but America's at the mall. The keyest issue, and that's emerged finally, is somebody said, my God, look what that's costing.
Sure.
I mean, the issue there is economics as opposed to we're losing.
You opposed the Iraq war, didn't you? I believe you did.
I think it was a horrible mistake.
Okay. In fact, John's politics is a little more left of center than you might think. Wouldn't you agree that if the scenario that we understand, that the idea of the weapons of mass destruction being there, that there was a clear mistelling of the reality of that situation, that's an incredibly grievous governmental...
That's terribly complex. I don't know.
It is true. We could go all day. You're right.
I mean, the most generous issue says misread the intelligence.
Right.
That's the most generous.
But given, the thousands of guys that have died, and men and women that have died, and the cost of all this, that the misrepresentation of fact when you're talking about the big stuff... It's just about the worst thing a government can do.
Let's differentiate between misrepresentation and misinterpretation.
I understand. A misinterpretation, a mistake, fine, they happen. But I'm saying a true misrepresentation of fact, meaning I know there's no weapons there, but I'm going to war, and so I'm telling the people. That's about as bad as it gets in terms of malfeasance. Is that a first?
But people did that. And people inside, there were people inside the intelligence. I had a friend from Los Alamos who was in Iraq before the war and came back and said, it ain't there. And there were people saying, that program does not exist.
And
they got overrode, you understand how these systems work. But you understand, for your system to be, positioned to be propagated means there has to be a large numbers of they... who have this information, who are consciously withholding it.
Unnecessarily.
And that's...
Unnecessarily.
Necessarily.
When Colonel Haynes, I think I got the right, when Colonel Haynes stepped out on the podium back in 97, could have been 95, for the remarkable press conference given by the United States Air Force.
Roswell.
On Roswell. And when he stepped out there and started to provide... the mogul explanation, right, as well as the crash dummy explanation. I doubt if he knew one way or the other what was true or not. He was a spokesperson. He was walking out there to tell people what he'd been told to say by people who were told what to tell him to say.
No. That's what I understand. We've been through this. It's like the Condon report was right. Went through this last year. Yes, Condon was right. The question to Condon was not, are there UFOs? The question was, is this a threat? The Air Force wanted this to go away.
Sure.
They did not want to commit resources. We're talking, at the fundamental level, you're talking resources.
Sure.
And competition for resources. They wanted it to go away. The easiest answer is to say, no threat. We are the Department of Defense. We're the, not the Department of Things That Fly Around. In fact, there's other people responsible for that.
But I'm making a different
point.
They
have actually ignored it. I'll take it a step farther, though. Where it gets worse, in my view, is that we have had repeated very strong cases. You heard Milton Torres yesterday talk about that. That's one case among many. You know about Bentwaters and what happened in the Northern Tier sighting, that where we have had interactions with our defense system, some of them in the strategic triad, and the bottom line is, And I've talked to the people who were involved, and they study it, and they say, what the hell, we can't figure it out. We'll wait until it happens again. And usually the things that happen again are something different. But it's, bottom line, the golden rule.
I'm still making a more complex point, namely that the government is large, and that you can have pockets of individuals that have extremely tight information about something and know exactly what's going on, and then they tell somebody else a misrepresentation of that, and that creates a slight skewering of that, and then somebody else comes out and gives a press conference and total information that's totally bogus. This idea that the government is large and therefore there must be a whole lot of people that really know what this core knows, and therefore it must come out. I disagree. I think that the information is confined within a couple of tight groups, and everybody else is in outer circles and know less and less, and the misinformation mixes it all up, and the net result is there's no unified knowledge base and there's no unified exposition, which of course is confusing and wasteful and nonsensical. And I believe that became a model for how government should operate, which is, you know, nobody knows what the hell's going on, the people aren't told what's going on, and you got guys like Colonel Haynes, who was a fine officer serving his country, walking out on the stage, uttering absolute lies and nonsense, because he didn't know better, making a fool and a liar out of him. And I just don't like the way things are going. We're making liars, or calling liars, of our Air Force people and our astronauts and our high-end people. You don't know, or you should know. All of this stems back to the fact that, and I think we can agree on this, that for some reason, which is still inexplicable to me, I know why they might have covered up the ET presence in 47, given what they were facing, but for some other inexplicable reason, they have created this 62-year-old labyrinthine phantasmorgia of misunderstanding that is bizarre and ridiculous. Don't you agree with that?
The problem that I have with this is that they tend to, I use the word ergofusion. I haven't got time to go into all that.
Ergofusion?
It's a word I got published in Neolinguistics.
Sounds like an exercise device. You get it to 2 o'clock
it means
in the morning.
Is the misidentification of causal relationships. And the point here is, and I think what you're making up, there is a difference, in my view, between incompetence, lack of knowledge, and cover-up. An awful lot of this, I mean, it's interesting because in this area alone, we believe that the government is omniscient.
Mm-hmm.
And yet in our daily lives and everything else that goes on, you see them screwing up everything else. How is it that they get so good in this one little tiny area and screw up everything else?
I think the government gets a lot of things right. I think they're capable of putting intellectual and financial resources together and accomplishing amazing things, and we know that they have. But let's look at the model. I think we're down to our last couple of minutes, too. If you have a core group of individuals that have the basic information about something, and you withhold that from everyone else, as you move away from that core, the quality of understanding diminishes. So essentially, the truth embargo affects everybody. Everybody in government is a victim of it. They don't know what's going on. They have partial information. The misinformation, if it occurs, it also impacts the people in government. So yeah, as you get above the other layers over this core group of knowledge, this core portion of knowledge, yeah, it gets to be a mess. And so when you look at the government as a whole, you see a mess. And so one can conclude, well, if it's a mess like that, there can't be any fundamental truth there. But in fact, They have created the mess deliberately because that makes it, you can't penetrate it. You can't get down to the fundamentals. But they're using the entire government, in a sense, to create this kind of chaff so that we can't get the proper radar return. That's a misuse of government and resources in an extraordinary way, isn't it?
Like I say, I just don't think it, that you're going to find an ET problem. There is something I would like to throw up.
Sure.
That I'm going to raise a flag that's very, very different. Can I have seven, please?
Bring up seven.
I have been concerned. I know that there's a thing underway, and we heard today we want POTUS to agree that Obama is going to wave a magic wand and all this information is going to come flowing out and all of that. Have we got it or not? I can talk it through it, but the slides would
not
be better.
Yet, seven. It's the one with Roosevelt and Obama.
Yeah, what I did there is I took, I think there's a misperception on how the system works. And last time I talked about macro systems and the government and all of that. Before World War II, in the early part, when we wanted to develop a nuclear weapon, now, everybody knows that there was a letter that was sent by Einstein to Roosevelt and that promulgated the Manhattan Project. Partially true. The point here is there was another step. You had years and years of science, Einstein and a lot of other scientists sending a letter to the President of the United States saying we ought to do this. Did he say yes? Not at all. What he said is, let's form a committee and review the technology, and from that, we'll decide whether or not to go forward. And then, as we know, they did go forward, and the Manhattan Project came about. Now we've got this project, and we say that what you want to do is, you know, I don't know who your Einstein is, I guess it's Greer or Novell, are going to pop up and go tell the president who is going to, what he's going to do. You know, it's even, I think, the misperception of what happened with Rockefeller. You know, here's high-level people. What you say to them is, that's interesting, get back to me, I'll study it. So what they're going to do is they're going to study it. Who's going to study it? You know, I think that's really a key issue. Can we slip quickly to 40? Study was done. This is one of the major problems of how scientists and the world view the are on such different tracks in this area. The one on the left is the general population and what they believe on psi, or the people who believe in psi phenomena. The next one are all college professors. And you see quite a few college professors at least agree to that. AAAS is the American Association of Aeronautics and Astronautics. You got a fair percentage there. The next batch, NAS, is the National Academy of Sciences. And they're down at about 4% even believe. And I've worked with these people. I've sat on boards with them and had individual talks with them. The people that are going to evaluate this technology, if you will, to review it, come from that group. Strong non-believers. My point here is, be careful what you ask for. You know, I have another slide we could go through, and I'll take you through it separately on, you know, what the flow chart would be and what it falls out. I think what you'll get, A, probably nothing. B, if you're most successful and you get through, what you get is Condon 2. You will get a report that looks like Condon and set us back another 50 years.
I'm going to say that could happen, but I'm going to tell you, if they try that again, given the power of the net and YouTube and cable news and the multi-tiered media and the computer savvy of people out there, particularly the young people, I think they're going to take that second Condon report and they're going to shred it down to the molecules and it's going to be thrown in the trash and it's going to blow up in their face in about a week and a half.
Let me have 41.
41.
What? Unfortunately, you can't see it. This is the public excited. Okay? That's the Washington Mall, 20 January. What you don't see, by the way, is there were 55 million people who voted no.
Mm-hmm.
You know? But this is the public excited. This is the public in the UFO arena. Point is, this is not, as I said, public interested, tell me about it, you know, neat little studies, okay. But tomorrow, you know, like my wife said, does this mean I don't have to go to work?
All right, I think we'll close with this. I'm going to respond to that point, and then I'll give John the last word because he wanted the last word. Because I think he's brought up a very key point. This is, to me, the most serious concern that I think we need to address, right? He's absolutely right that a nation moves forward or moves in various directions based upon public interest, public desires. And so when the public is motivated sufficiently, it can exert substantial force on the state to take action. We know that eventually by the late 50s that there was sufficient public demand and concern regarding the question of equality and civil rights that they took to the streets, they started organizations and protests, and they really put a great deal of pressure on the government, and we got laws that started creating a proper multicultural society with equitable laws. And we've seen the public do this again in Vietnam. Eventually, not initially, but eventually the Vietnam War became so abhorrent, so many, that they took to the streets by the hundreds of thousands because they generally knew what was going on. They knew about the war. It was being reported. They had not all the information, but enough to form a pretty good opinion. And so they took to the streets. All appropriate. Doesn't mean that they got what they wanted, but they certainly, it was a voting issue for them. But what happens when the government, which has built vast secret complexes, huge intelligence agencies and classified schema and programs with vast black budgets, is able to create and put in under the secrecy blanket so much stuff? What happens when the issues that you're supposed to get worked up about, you don't even know about? Mr. Rumsfeld's unknown. How do you go to the street about something you don't even know exists but does exist? So when you get in the area of secrecy, you take away from the public its ability to decide whether it's going to go in the street or not. And so you create non-voting issues by intent, not by public consensus. The public is not deciding what's voting or non-voting. The government is, because it decides what you even know. And so the day we get to the point when what we decide to do and when we go to the street is only based upon what the government lets us know, this republic is done. All right?
Are you
and that's the essence of this
community?
Issue. Yes?
What's going on in the entertainment community? This is out there. And in fact, it's widely believed.
Look,
there's a vast number of people. In fact, I think the majority of people actually believe would support the conspiracy.
No. The people didn't go to the streets in the 50s over the civil rights issue because segregation was happening in the movies, John. It was because it was happening in the streets of America.
Right.
And the reason that they're...
But you just said they don't know about it. I'm sorry, they do know about it. And as we know from polls, that most people would agree with your position.
Again, this thing about knowing, you know, it's funny. Yeah, you're right. There are a lot of things out there you can kind of learn about. And there are a lot of people out there who believe that what government does doesn't matter. In other words, look, if I know something is true, it doesn't matter what the government says about it, right? So it's like saying, look, I know that going to war is a bad thing in Iraq. I don't think we should do that. Okay, fine. You have an opinion. You know about Iraq. Great. So what the government does about it is not important. It's what I know. It's what I think is important. Except when the government decides to do it, they send your sons and daughters over there. They don't say, would you like to go? They send them over there. They have the power of the purse, so they take your dollars and they spend it over there. And they affect your life in 1,000 ways. And so, you know, whether you know about Iraq or don't know about Iraq doesn't mean a hell of a lot. It's what the government does about Iraq. And so what you know about the UFOs is important to a degree, But what the government does about them really does matter. And we can never get to the point where we're at this, you know, what the government does doesn't matter. Believe me, it matters hugely. The government didn't regulate the derivative industry, folks. And now watch your pensions disappear. It did not properly regulate the mortgage industry. And now people are watching their homes disappear. Plenty of people knew about those things. Government does matter. And so I believe what government does on the UFO matter is incredibly important, John. I'm going to let you have the last word.
Can I have the last slide, then?
Last slide, last word. What's going on here? What are y'all doing here? It's great that you came. I'm glad you're here. But what's going on? Jim? Ah, okay, good. Well, whatever happened, it was great. I'm glad you came, and maybe whatever happened might happen again sometime. Because this is the first shot, and obviously got a little slow at times and what have you. But I think you can see how interesting this could get because we haven't even scratched the surface. I think so. Maybe John and I'll do this again. Thanks for coming, folks.